Good morning. Today is the day that we have the orchestra is taking a break, so we don't have the prelude that you're used to. It's just me coming right at you. So good morning. I hope that everyone's feeling good this morning. I know that we have several who are sick and aren't able to make it today, and hopefully maybe they're just watching through Zoom. One of the blessings of modern technology that I guess we sort of, you could say it was a blessing of COVID that everybody got used to Zoom, and now it's helpful for those who need to stay home. So I'm glad that you're here and glad that we're able to worship together. Let me just go through a couple of reminders, a couple of announcements, just reminding you that we have something set up in the kitchen. There's some boxes in there so that if you want to put all your Christmas cards together for everybody else in the congregation, but you don't want to stand at the mailbox and plop them in and look at the names, there's somebody who's willing to do that for you. And the missionary support group is willing to do that for you. And you can just put the whole pile over in a box in the kitchen, and they'll take care of putting them in the individual mailboxes. And there's another box in there. If you feel so led, you can put a little donation in there in place of all the stamps that you would have needed if you were sending them in the mail. So that's the way to help support some of the missionaries, some of the Christmas gifts that we get to send to the missionaries that we support. Also, next Sunday, in the afternoon, 3:30, I'd say be here by 3 o'clock, 3:15, but at 3:30, we're going to be standing out front here. I'm optimistic that we're going to have good weather. We're going to be standing out here singing carols. If it turns out that we're not standing out here, we're going to be meeting over at Loeffler Care Center if it rains. So if it's sunny, or even if it's, we're not sure, I'd say come here, and we'll start here. And if there's some reason that we feel like that's not where we're going to sing, we'll all group go together as a group and go over to Loeffler Center. So hopefully we'll either be very sunny or very rainy so that we don't have to make that decision, but looking forward to singing carols next Sunday out on the street corner here. And I know we always get such a good reaction from people as they drive by, so I think it's appreciated by the community. And afterwards, there's going to be a pizza party as well. So also want to mark your calendars for January, just thinking ahead, keeping you well informed in plenty of time. January 26th is going to be our congregational meeting, so you want to put that on your calendar. We'll keep reminding you. And several weeks before the meeting itself, we will have a pack of reports for you to look at so that you can look at those ahead of time and be informed and be ready for the meeting then. And the last thing that I want to just kind of bring your attention to there is the note regarding the things that are up here on the Christmas tree, the Christmons, and there's a trifold back there on the back table to help explain what some of those symbols mean. And I think it's very helpful, and I'm very grateful for those who made that. We've got a nice representation back there. You can look at that and see what all those symbols mean and why they're hanging on the tree. Any other? Yes.
I just want to let everybody know that there's going to be a lot of electrical work going on in the church this week. So if you come in here and there's a lot of wires laying around, we're going to be updating all the emergency lighting and actually adding new emergency lighting. So just don't be alarmed, but also be careful.
Okay. Yes, thank you. And then that reminds me, just for your information, Wednesday, if you were planning on Wednesday, we'll still have our coffee shop theology classes, but we're going to find a different place to have those, because the Caring Cupboard is actually going to be using our fellowship hall for their Christmas banquet, Christmas party. So we're still going to meet. We'll just probably meet somewhere else, and then we'll have to also, we'll figure out where we can sit and still have our class, and they can have their party. Also, you all are invited on Thursday evening, 6 o'clock or 6:30, the Girl Scouts have their Christmas caroling. They have a Christmas program here, and I'm sorry, Well, come at 6, and that way you'll be in time. I apologize. You know what? I'll get it to Jenny, and she can send an email out to everybody to let you know. But if you're interested, last year I came, and a few others, and Vicky and I came, and it was kind of cute. It was nice. The Girl Scouts have all their parents and family here, and they're singing, and they were singing, and somewhere up there, and yeah. So it's just kind of a really fun Christmas concert. Put on by the Girl Scouts, and we have the Girl Scouts downstairs. I don't know if you've ever seen any of them, and this would be an opportunity to come and see what goes on, see how the community is benefiting from this church. So that's on Thursday evening. So any other announcements or reminders of schedule and so forth? Okay. Well, then, let's light our Advent wreath. If you notice that our sermon is a change of plans, and it's perfect. It works out because I had two people scheduled to read and light the Advent wreath this morning, but they are both sick. So we have a change of plans today. So it's just going to be me. But I ask you to give me your attention as we light the Advent wreath this morning. So you know that last Sunday we lit the first candle in our Advent wreath. It was the candle of hope, or it is the candle of hope. Let's light it again, remembering that the light of hope shines for us in the darkness. Now peace is one of God's gifts to us. John the Baptist was a prophet calling the people of Israel to repent, to find peace with God. And John also declared that it is in our actions of love and justice that God's peace is shown. May we, by our actions, help to prepare the way for the coming of peace. And so we light this second candle to remind us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His light helps us find ways to share God's peace with others. So let's pray. Lord, we ask you to make us instruments of your peace. When there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let us give pardon. Where there is doubt, let us share faith. Where there is despair, let us provide hope. Where there is sadness, let us bring joy. And where there is darkness, let us shine light. Grant that we may not seek so much to be consoled as to console. Not so much to be understood as to understand. Not so much to be loved as to love others. For it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. I'll ask you to join me in singing our first hymn here, our hymn of Advent, O Come, Emmanuel. invite the praise band to come on up and get set up to start to lead us in our worship songs. In the meantime, while they're getting set up, I just want to remind you of that question that we had last week. Where's the baby? We need to make sure that we are still anticipating, that we're, as we go through this Advent season, we want it to be a season of anticipation. So many times we hit this time of the year and we call it the Christmas season. You know, well, this is still Advent. This is still waiting for Christ, still waiting for the Messiah. And we want to kind of put ourselves in that mode as we go through Advent and as we light the candles and as we think about what those people went through as they were waiting. For all those hundreds of years, they had heard the prophecy. And where is he? Where is the baby? And I know that even today, we can think about how we're still waiting for Jesus in another way. But use that same feeling, use that anticipation to think about how we're waiting for the baby, for the Messiah to come. I'll invite you to stand if you're able, and let's sing some more worship songs with the praise band. And I feel like I need to pray too. Let's pray. Father, we gather here to worship with you and for you and to you this morning. Father, I just pray that everything that we sing, say, and do here would be to your glory and to your honor. We're about to sing praises to you, God, and so I pray that our hearts will just open up and just blast this joy, this peace, this hope to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
What hope we hope in this starlit night, a King is born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoicing in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God. Jesus' name. Emmanuel. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to man, from heaven's all gracious care. The world silent still misled to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains they bend on hovering wings, and ever over its babble sounds the blessing angels sing. Whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the way. Oh, rest beside the wheel.
Take a few moments to greet your neighbor and ask them, where's the baby?
Where's the baby? Where's the baby?
What? Where's
the baby?
keep greeting for just a second. And I realized I probably made it difficult to avoid the Clara Peller syndrome, the one that used to say, "Where's the beef?" When I said, "Ask, where's the baby?" It just kind of feels like you need to say it like that. All right, well, what praises do you have? Can we share some praises from this week? What kind of praises do you want? Yeah, all right. Got a couple back here already. Jeff, right in here. Thelma and Ginny.
Kids. I do want to thank everybody for the cards and their calls and just all the kindnesses. It meant so much, and I'm so much better, and I
good.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, praise the Lord. It's so good
thank
to see you back.
It's good to have a church family.
Yeah.
I just have a praise for the cookie baking yesterday. No, everything didn't go as planned, but we sure had fun.
Okay.
And we got some good cookies out of it, and
good.
I'm enjoying eating those. And it was just nice to be here.
Good. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Any other praises? Oh, yeah, over here, Jeff. We got...
I'm very happy to let you know that Ray and I have become great grandparents for the fifth time. Our granddaughter, Nicole, just had a baby boy on December 3rd, the first boy great-grandchild. The others are all girls. So God bless the little guy that's in the family.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Nice. I know we have, yes, go ahead.
I have one. I'm just very thankful. My wife and I will be celebrating our 24th anniversary tomorrow. So.
Okay, congratulations. Yeah. And I was told before church that there's another anniversary coming up this week. Does anybody want to share that or no? Back in the back there? I put the pressure on you. You got to share now.
We're going to be celebrating 66 years.
Yeah. Congratulations, yeah. And I think he must be proud of it because he caught me on the way in and made sure he told me about that. So congratulations to both of you. Any other birthdays or anniversaries coming up? Okay. I also want to share a praise. You've heard me talking about over the... Well, more than a year, I've been talking about a couple that I was trying to help that have been living in the Dutch motel. I got word at the beginning of the week that they were moving into an apartment in Middletown. So we're very thankful that God worked through somebody else, got them into a place, and I got a picture of them sitting in their new apartment. She's sitting by the window. She loves to have the sun shining on her, and he's sitting in a recliner, and he's got his finger up. So it looks like they're very happy. So very, very thankful that someone was able to find something for them. So any other praises? He's thankful that it's going to be warmer next week. Yeah, yeah. This is more like February weather we've been having, but we'll take it. You know, whatever God wants to give us, we'll adapt. But yeah, we're looking forward to the warmer weather coming up. Any other praises or even prayer requests that you might want to share? I do have a prayer request. Go ahead. I do have a prayer request. I was told that Bill Smith, the pain was enough that he, or were you, is he heading your way? Okay. the pain was enough that he did ask Gloria to take him to the hospital yesterday. They found fractured ribs and vertebrae, but he's been transferred to Hershey Trauma. We'll keep you updated as we know more, but he had fallen, and so he has some fractures, and they've transferred him, and the hope is that he'll get to rehab and spend some time there. But we'll keep you updated then.
My one coworker, Earl, just keep his family in prayers because he decided to forego any more treatment for his cancer, and they put him in a hospice care. So it's probably just a matter of time now. Mm-hmm. So.
And you said his name is Earl? Okay. Yes.
I would like to have continued prayer for the people down in Western North Carolina. After being down there for a few days, the devastation is still there. There's a lot of work to be done. And now that it's winter, they need lots of winter clothes and blankets and so forth to stay warm. Those that have been displaced and are now living in tents or even campers.
Hmm. Okay, yes. I will share also a prayer request now as well, that those two that I mentioned found a place, but I also received a call for somebody who now needs help and is down at the Red Roof Inn at the moment and is looking for some help, some extension there, but I'm going to be talking to him at 1 o'clock this afternoon to find out more about his story. But just the idea that somebody doesn't even, I mean, we have people who have gone through a disaster. Just want to find out what his situation is. We have to know that we have people who just don't have a place to live as Christmas comes up. Any time is bad, but of course it really hits our hearts at Christmas time. So pray for Cliff is his name. So if you'll pray for Cliff, and I'll be able to tell you more next Sunday, hopefully. So any other prayer requests? Okay, well let's pray. Let's go to our Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. We know it's a gift, and so we thank you. We thank you for it and for all the blessings that you have provided so far. Even this early in the day, we know that you have provided us with just an uncountable amount of blessings. We thank you for milestones. We thank you for birthdays and anniversaries, and I just pray that as those anniversaries come this week, that they will be able to celebrate, they will be able to just remember what day one was like as they celebrate year number, whatever it is, you know, in double digits. We just pray that they will be able to enjoy it and also to recognize your presence and how you have been involved in getting them to this milestone. We thank you for the warm weather coming. We thank you for the cold weather we've had. We just thank you, knowing that you are in control, that it's your handiwork when you give us the beauty of a little bit of snow, and it's also your handiwork when you give us feet of snow. And so we just thank you. We thank you for watching over us and protecting us when there's ice, when there's snow, and when there's cold. And we pray for your protection and your help for these people who find themselves now in a situation where it's not as comfortable as it might have been, or maybe they've just for a long time not been comfortable. People who have no home as we get these freezing temperatures. Thank you for this break in the weather for them, but we pray that you will help those around them to be your hands and feet and to help them find solutions. Protect those ones who are down in North Carolina living in tents, living in trailers, and maybe some haven't even been able to get that much of a quote-unquote luxury. Just we pray that the people will just open up their hearts and help them out and get them through this terrible situation. Father, we pray for Bill. We know he's fallen. We know that you're watching over him, and we thank you for having these specialists prepared to take care of him, to diagnose him. We pray that as he gets to Hershey Trauma, that they will be able to also see him, diagnose him, follow your leading. I pray, Lord, that you will be in their minds, you will be guiding their hands as they take care of Bill. We pray for Earl, who has decided to just stop the treatment for his cancer, and we know that he's on hospice. And so, Father, I pray for comfort for Earl. I pray for comfort and strength for the family. And I just pray that you'll wrap your comforting arms around that whole family as they deal with this situation. Father, I ask for your help as we talk to this young man, Cliff, and find out what his story is, and just help us to discern how we can help him, and pray that he would know you and your presence in the process. I just pray, Lord, that you will touch his heart and that he will not just look for material help, but also look for you to help him as well. Father, we thank you for the way that you provide for us, and we get that provision in the form of an income. And so, Father, we've given a portion back as offering, as worship, because it was yours to begin with, and we just thank you for providing it for us. And so we just ask you to accept it and to bless it and to use it to further your kingdom and your church. And Father, I pray that you'll use me as your mouthpiece, and that we will have open ears and open hearts as we hear your message, so that we will be not just hearers, but also doers of your word. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The children, ages 5 through 5th grade, are dismissed for children's church. I feel like one of the major themes of Christmas time is a change of plans. Even as I mentioned, just simple things that we have scheduled, you have planned, and then something happens and you have to make a change of plans. Last week, our story about Mary involved a change of plans. And in today's message, we're going to hear about Joseph. We don't hear much about Joseph, even in our carols. We talk about, round yon virgin, mother and child. Well, Joseph was there too. talk about what child is this in Mary's lap. Yeah, Joseph had a lap too. I'm sure the baby laid in his lap as well. So we want to make sure we give Joseph a little credit in this story. And we want to hear about his portion of the story and how he was involved and how he had to make some change in his plans as well. So I would say that this morning's sermon is especially dedicated or focused or it's for those people, for all of you, any of you, who might be facing something that you didn't plan for. I imagine there's probably at least one of you sitting here who have had some plans and something changed very recently. You've had to deal with a change of plans, something that's going a little bit different from what you thought it would. And as a result, you've had to deal with a change of plans. And I wonder, how many of you consider yourselves to be planners? Maybe you're a natural-born planner, or maybe it doesn't come naturally and you have to work real hard at it, but you just don't feel comfortable until you have a plan in place. How many of you are like that? I know that's me. I gotta have a plan. I gotta have some sort of a notion of what's going on. Now, Vicky, and I just happened to look at Vicky, and she gave me that, yes, you are. She's more spontaneous, and I guess that's what was so appealing about her. They say opposites attract, but I'm most comfortable when I have a plan in place. And even just this weekend, we went out to visit Jeremy and Cassie, our son and daughter-in-law, yesterday, because in Philadelphia they have a little Christmas market. Well, they have two separate ones that are right across from each other. We spent some time there last year, and it was a lot of fun, and we went out this year as well. But, you've got to decide, are you going to go out Friday night and stay over, or are you going to go out Saturday morning? And are you going to drive out, which I do not enjoy driving in Philadelphia, or are you going to take the train, which we've never done before, but it sounded fun. And then if we go on a train, well, how much luggage do they allow? And how big of luggage? And it was unknown. We didn't have any idea. But I wasn't going to be happy until I had a plan. I really needed a plan before I was at peace, as we talk about peace today. I wasn't going to be at peace until I had a plan for making the trip. But even when we make a plan, and we did have a good time. We went on the train, by the way. A lot of firsts this weekend, but we had a good time. But we had a plan. I felt much better. But even when we make a plan, there's no guarantee that things are going to go as planned, right? We need to be ready to deal with a change of plans. And a change of plans for little things like, okay, somebody they get sick, they're not able to make it for the Advent reading. No big deal. Or maybe even visiting family over the weekend, change of plans might not cause too much stress. But sometimes a change of plans can really throw you for a loop. A few years back, I conducted 3 funerals during the 2 weeks before Christmas. Families who were making plans about how to get together, whose house they were going to go to, what time is the party, who's going to pick up dad, or who's going to go see mom. And then they get a call. You need to get to the hospital right away. Your husband doesn't have much longer. Your mom's not going to make it through the day. What? The doctor just told us that he was doing pretty well. Mom's operation went so well, she was scheduled for therapy next week. All of a sudden, these families had a plan, and yet there was a change of plans because of those phone calls. Now, a change of plans is so much easier to deal with when we realize that we have a plan, but God has a purpose. We have a plan, but God has a purpose, and just because we realize it, that sometimes doesn't mean that we'll always understand it. And I'm not suggesting that it was God's purpose that those people die. I'm suggesting that they had a plan, they had a small plan. God's purpose is much bigger. And sometimes we hit road bumps, speed bumps, sometimes we hit barriers, sometimes we hit detours. But it's helpful to know that God has a plan. Has a purpose, excuse me. We have a plan, but God has a purpose that we don't understand and that we don't have to understand. But it's these change of plans that don't just throw us for a loop. Sometimes it can rattle our faith too. And I think the story about the birth of Jesus is just like that. We can go all the way back to the parents of Mary and Joseph. In this culture, the parents would have arranged this marriage, but probably with the children's consent. Mary's mom and dad had a plan for Mary. Joseph's parents had a plan for him. And Mary and Joseph were okay with the plan. We talked about Mary's expectations, what kind of plans she had made as she prepared for this marriage. Well, Mary had a plan, but there was a change of plans. Mary never planned to be an unmarried pregnant woman whose father isn't the man she's planning to marry. She never planned to deal with the scorn and the shame that came her way every time she walked through town, all the dirty looks she got from her righteous neighbors. Mary had to deal with a change of plans, but she's not the only one. This week I want to talk about Joseph. He also had to deal with a change of plans. And his reaction is recorded in Matthew's gospel. And I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It begins this way. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. And I'm going to stop there. We know that we talked about the betrothal period last week. We talked about how they were legally committed to each other, even though they hadn't had the wedding yet. Joseph had probably paid at least a portion of a bride price by this time. Mary and Joseph are officially pledged to each other. They're in the middle of this year-long betrothal that ends with the wedding and then the consummation of their marriage. But continuing on, it says, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, any physical contact with another man during this period, because they are legally bound and legally committed, any kind of physical contact would be considered adultery. Joseph had so many plans for marrying this girl. for starting a family, for being a respectable part of Nazareth society. Now there's a drastic change in plans. He finds out that Mary is pregnant. And we don't know. Did Mary tell him? Did his friends find out and tell him? We don't know. But Joseph got the news, and he has to deal with a change of plans. So now he has three choices. He can either expose her, he can take her out, shame her publicly as an unfaithful wife, and even if they wanted to go all the way back to the Old Testament laws, she could be stoned at that point. Now it sounds like around this time of this time in the culture, they weren't doing the stoning part so much anymore, but he could definitely take her out there in the middle of the town, take her out to the people, the judges that are out there at the city gate, and publicly shame her. Everyone would know about it. That's the first option. The second option is to privately divorce her. He could write a note, a handwritten note, and have two witnesses and make the divorce legal. And divorce was the only way that they could break up this betrothal. We talked about that last week. Because they were legally committed, it's almost the same as today when we talk about marriage. Engagement for them, betrothal for them, those were two different things. Betrothal was much more committed than our engagement today. So he could privately divorce her, just write a note, get two witnesses, take care of it kind of quietly. Or he actually could marry her, and there's some provisions set out in Exodus 22 that would allow him to marry her. Those were the three choices provided back in those days. Expose her, shame her publicly, or privately divorce her, or go ahead and marry her. Of course, today our culture provides a fourth option, terminate the pregnancy, and we consider ourselves so much more civilized. So Joseph has three options: publicly expose her and shame her, privately divorce her, just go ahead and marry her. Verse 19 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, something's got to be done, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, sounds like maybe he's got a little compassion, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph makes a new plan. He's choosing the second option. He can't keep her. He assumes she has committed adultery. But he must have been a man of compassion because he doesn't want her to be publicly disgraced. Of course, the disgrace would come anyway as soon as she starts showing. But Joseph has a plan. Verse 20 says, but after he had considered this, after he has developed his plan, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is asked to accept another change of plans. Go ahead, marry her, and you name the baby, which implies guardianship. Verse 22 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So you see, God had a plan too. Verse 24 then, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. And he gave him the name, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. So, they complete the betrothal. It says he did what the angel of the Lord had committed. He took Mary home as his wife. They go ahead, they complete the betrothal process. It means that Joseph officially marries her. They have the wedding, but abstains from consummating the marriage until after Jesus was born. So we not only have a virgin conception, which fulfills prophecy, but we also have a virgin birth, which is one of the pillars of our faith. The Christmas story, it's definitely a story of a change of plans. parents' plans for Mary and Joseph's wedding, Mary and Joseph's plan for a quiet life together. Even the birth of this child wasn't the way they would have planned it. Caesar Augustus decides he wants to take a census, so Joseph has to change his plans again and take his pregnant wife some 80-some miles to Bethlehem. And after the baby's born, they find out that the king wants to kill him. Another change of plans as they become fugitives. They're on the run, escaping to Egypt. And even there then, a change of plans. He was planning to just go back home and get back to his business where he was a craftsman. But now he's running off to Egypt and spending a couple of years there. So he's got to do something there to establish some sort of lifestyle. This whole story is a change of plans. And I'm wondering if any of you can relate. Maybe you find yourself sitting here right now saying, yep, I know exactly how they feel. Maybe your hours are being cut at the wrong time of the year. They're being cut at work so you won't be able to take that vacation you were planning. Or maybe the car's acting up and you can't afford to fix it and get your spouse that jewelry you planned to buy. Maybe a child is dealing with problems and is moving back into the house with you, not what you had planned. Maybe you didn't plan on getting those migraines. You didn't plan on losing that job opportunity. You didn't plan on moving in December. You didn't plan on battling depression. This isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I planned. God, I just don't understand. Well, I hope you can find peace in knowing that you had a plan, but God has a purpose. He has something in mind so much bigger for you. And you don't have to understand what just happened in order to trust God and to trust His purpose for you. Obedience to God and trust in God isn't always easy. Just ask Joseph and Mary. But Proverbs 19:21 says this, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." I'll say it again, a change of plans is so much easier to deal with when we realize that we have a plan, but God has a purpose. We lit our second candle this morning, the candle representing peace. And I want you to think about that peace as we get ready to sing our final hymn. But before we sing that hymn, I want to share the story behind the hymn. I know some of you know this, maybe many of you know it, but I want you to know the story behind this hymn that we're about to sing. It is Well With My Soul. It's a story of a man who had to make a lot of changes in his plans, and things didn't go so well for him. The author of the hymn that we're about to sing is Horatio Spafford. Mr. Spafford was a well-known Christian lawyer in Chicago who also had great holdings in real estate in the fast-growing frontier town of Chicago. So he had a plan. Things were working out for him pretty well. And then in 1871, the great tragedy of fire struck Chicago, and in a matter of a few hours, much of Mr. Spafford's real estate holdings were nothing but ashes. This proved a real test for him. There's a change in his plans. After the fire, most of young Chicago lay in ruins, and the first building erected on the ashes was a building built by D.L. Moody called the Northside Tabernacle. And it was at this place that Mr. Spafford kept himself occupied in helping those whose loss in actual money was not as great as his, but like the widow who gave all, they had lost all. He was fortunate, for he still had his law practice, his family, and also had some equity left. So he made another plan. In November of 1873, some 2 years after the fire, many of the schools in Chicago had not yet been rebuilt, and so Mr. Spafford decided that he would take his family to England, where his children could enroll in an English academy and not be held back in their education. He's made a plan for himself and for his family. And just before they were to leave, a last-minute business development made it necessary for Mr. Spafford to remain in Chicago, a change of plans. But he still keeps the plan for the rest of the family. He sends his wife and his children on ahead. He would come later on another ship. The Spafford family arrived safely in New York, and they boarded a ship, and soon they were on their way to England, but in mid-ocean, there was a collision between their ship and another, a sailing ship. Their ship sank, taking with her to the bottom of the ocean most of those on board, including the Spaffords' four daughters. Mrs. Spafford was found barely conscious, but clinging to a piece of the wreckage. And while aboard the rescue ship, which was taking her and the other survivors to England, she was able to draft a short message which was sent to her husband in Chicago, and it simply read, "Saved, comma, alone." Change of plans. When Mr. Spafford received this message, the tragedy of the fire seemed but nothing in comparison to what this cablegram implied. Money and burned buildings could be replaced, but his children were gone. It was through these clouds of darkness and despair that there shone into the heart of Mr. Spafford the bright light of God's promise, and I would say his peace. God would not forsake him in the trying hour, no matter what the circumstances, whether it was peace like a river or sorrows like sea billows. With God, all is well. I encourage you to stand and share with me in singing this final hymn, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth."
Shall resound and I
You have a plan, and that changes. God has a purpose. It doesn't change. May you go here with the peace, knowing that God has a purpose for you, and that even when your plans change, His purpose for you doesn't change. And may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and give you His peace. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.